Good morning. Welcome to Senate Finance. Today is Friday, February 2nd, 2018. The time is 9:04 a.m. With me this morning, Co-Chairman Hoffman.
Good morning.
Vice Chairman Bishop.
Good morning.
Senator Stevens, Senator Von Imhoff, Senator Machicki, and Senator Olson.
Good morning, Chair.
I'm Co-Chairman Anna McKinnon. Is there anything to come before the committee before we begin? Thank you, Senator Von Imhoff. On today's agenda, we have SB 4. It is the short title is an act relating to the Board of Barber and Hairdressers relating to limited license to practice non-chemical barbering related to license to practice hair braiding relating to the Department of Environmental Conservation and providing for an effective date. This bill has been before us before. The fiscal notes were covered. The public hearing was open and closed during last legislative session. Senator Machicki, would you like to briefly, for the public, introduce your bill so that we have on the record again the bill before us?
Certainly, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair, I have with me my staff member, Rachel Hanke, who's worked on this bill. Just as kind of a reminder of what Senate Bill 4 does, as I said often before, that is the last thing I wanted to do is have my name on a barber and hairdresser bill. But the folks that brought this to us and the people that are supporting this bill is kind of interesting because it's all about commerce, and it's all about sort of an appropriate level of training and regulation before people can go into business for themselves. So it does four things. It under Title VIII, licensed professionals regulated by the Board of Barbers and Hairdressers must work in a licensed shop. So the students and practitioners are required by statute to display their licenses, but the owners have not been previously. So the way that it's worked out is the practitioners can be cited when a shop owner's license has lapsed. So this requires that the shop owner display their license and so that the practitioners can make sure that they're in a licensed facility as they practice. The second thing it does, it allows them to self-certify on DEC standards. So DEC has not inspected the sites in 2 years. Is that correct? They're no longer inspecting hairdressing salons. So this allows them to have a program of self-certifying where they do a self-inspection, fill out a form, and have it available. Additionally, it creates two license types. One is the non-chemical barber's license. Currently, they're having to pass 1,650 hours of training, which is equivalent to folks that do chemical weaving and straightening and bleaching and coloring. They don't do that. They use scissors. They use a buzzer. They cut hair. So it's a license type for that. And it also provides a license for braiding, and it brings it down to a reasonable amount of training for that. So if you think about it, it's growing in popularity. Certain ethnic groups, it's more popular, and we're requiring the same amount of training as we were for 1,650 hours of practical training that they were getting for other types of what requires a lot of experience in coloring, bleaching, or cutting hair. So we think it's a great way to get folks to work that are struggling to get their licensing now. If you think about it, the licensing before would cost them about $10,000 before they'd be able to go to work as a hair braider. We think it's just a sort of common sense bill that will help some Alaskans get to work with a more reasonable amount of regulation.
Thank you, Senator Machicki. Ms. Hanke, did you have any comments for consideration of the committee before we begin our business?
For the record, my name is Rachel Hanke, staff Senator Michiki, and I did want to direct everyone to Section 14. Last time there was a concern about the DEC standards for cleanliness. So this section adds new section that instructs the board to adopt the regulations for the standards of cleanliness for licensed establishments under the shop license section. So, and also DEC will still be doing the tattooing, piercing, and cosmetic coloring shops.
Thank you. Is your testimony related to version O, version J?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'd like to open the public testimony on the sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 4, version J. And I'd like to call on Kevin McKinley, the board chair. Kevin, are you with us?
Madam Chair, I am. For the record, my name is Kevin McKinley. I'm the board chair of the Board of Barbers and Hairdressers. This bill does fix a lot of things that the Board of Barbers and Hairdressers have been wanting to fix for over a few years. The big part is the DEC, but by the DEC non-inspecting hairdressing and beauty shops, the owners have been caught in a catch-22 where they were required to get certified with a floor plan, and they were not able to do that. And so the board had a quick fix for a few months that legal said that it was not a long-term solution, and that this solution that Senator Michiki has laid out in SB 4 is supported by the full board as far as the DEC goes and the rest of the bill.
Thank you. Are there questions for Mr. McKinley? Mr. McKinley, this is Senator McKinnon. We have a CS drafted that changes the effective date on the bill to January 1st, 2019, and I'm wondering if you can have regulations in place by January 1st, 2019.
Madam Chair, yes, I do believe the board can do that. We're quite active board, and this should not be a problem whatsoever.
Thank you very much. Any further comments for consideration, Mr. McKinley, for the Senate Finance Committee?
Madam Chair, I have no further comments. I want to thank you for allowing me to speak today.
Thank you for testifying before Senate Finance. For the is there anyone else here or in Juneau or waiting online to testify on the sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 4? Seeing and hearing none, the public hearing is closed. Senator Bishop, I have a motion on the CS.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move the committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 4.
Please go ahead.
Version dash LS0078/O before the committee is our working document.
I'll object for purposes of rolling out the amendment and ask Julie Lucky to the microphone. Ms. Lucky, could you point out any changes in the CS for the committee's consideration before we complete adoption of it?
Yes, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Julie Lucky. I'm staff to Senator Anna McKinnon. The only change that the Senate Finance Committee is making in the CS is the effective date, which we did want to double-check with the board prior to adoption of the CS. However, members may notice that there is some language change. Some of the pages might have changed. That is because some of the underlying statute changed as the result of bills that passed in between the time that we last heard the bill and today. It, specifically, it was a bill dealing with nail technicians. There was a lot of language regarding nail technicians that was repealed. So as you look at the CS, even though it is shorter than the previous sponsor substitute, the only change is the effective date at the end of the bill.
Are there questions from committee members on the CS? I'll withdraw my objections. Are there further objections to adopting the CS for the sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 4, Finance/O? Seeing and hearing none, the committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 4, Finance, is before us. Senator Bishop, do you have an amendment?
Madam Chair, I do. I move amendment number 1.
I'll object for purposes of discussion. Ms. Lucky, could you walk us through the amendment?
Again, for the record, Julie Lucky, staff to Senator McKinnon. During the last committee hearing, the only concern that was brought up by committee members was the actual repeal of the sanitation standards in DEC. It was the committee's understanding that the board would adopt substantially similar regulations under the board's purview. After discussion with legal, the board, and the department, there didn't seem to be a legal difficulty with leaving the regulations themselves in place at DEC instead of repealing and then repromulgating those regulations under the board. So what the amendment does is it leaves the DEC sanitation and cleanliness standards in place in regulation as they currently are, but allows the board the authority to enforce those regulations. And I'm happy to go through the amendment. It's a two-page amendment, but that is basic. I'm sorry, three-page amendment, if there's any questions specifically on the language, but that is the intent of the amendment, is to leave current regulations in place, therefore not requiring a repeal and a repromulgation of substantially similar regulations, but giving the board the enforcement authority that they need to do their inspections.
Senator Michiki, any comments on the amendment?
So I, if the board chooses to allow self-certification, they have the ability to do so through the regulations that they're able to create?
Ms. Lucky?
Through the Chair, Senator Michiki, it was our instruction that the language be as broad as possible to allow the board to enforce any of the regulations, and I do have a legal memo that I'm happy to pass out that does confirm that the, and if I may read for a moment, this section was drafted to be broad enough to expressly grant the board the power to enforce all applicable regulations, including the department's sanitation regulations. Although the board currently has general authority to carry out the provisions of this chapter under AS 08-13-030C3, if the amendment only addressed department regulations, a court may interpret a specific provision as legislative intent to limit the board's overall enforcement ability. So we did have them do it broadly to ensure that there was no concern about the board's authority.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further questions on the amendment? Seeing and hearing, Senator Stevens.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. I just a concern. If there were some egregious cleanliness issues, would the board have any power to enforce that?
Ms. Lucky.
through the Chair, Senator Stevens, that would be a question, I think, for the underlying bill. We did not change that. I would point out in the amendment that it does say that the board may, on its own motion or upon receipt of a written complaint, conduct hearings and request that the department investigate the practices of the person. So I believe that they would still have the board's, the department's backing if there was an egregious problem, but I would prefer the board or possibly the sponsor staff confirm that.
Thank you.
Any other questions? With that, I'll withdraw my objections. Are there objections to adoption of the amendment? Seeing and hearing none, the amendment is adopted. Senator Bishop, we have covered the previous fiscal notes. We've made a couple updates that should, I hope, reduce the fiscal impact. But Senator Bishop, please, if you would cover the fiscals.
Thank you. Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development, Corporations, Business, and Professional Licensing, professional licensing OMB component number 2360FY19, $3,600. Analysis, if the bill passes, the division will require $3,600 to cover the legal cost to amend the regulations, printing, and postage in the first year. Professional licensing within the Division of Business and Corporations are funded by receipt-supported services. That's a fund source of that we're all familiar with here, 1156 Receipt Services, DGF funds. Okay, number two, DEC, Department of Environmental Conservation, Appropriation Environmental Health, OMB component number 32020, fiscal note. There are some technical edits, et cetera, but again, zero fiscal note, ma'am.
Thank you. Are there questions on the fiscal notes? Ms. Chambers, do you have any comments for the committee's consideration before we take up this bill?
Thank you, Madam Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Sarah Chambers. I'm the Deputy Director of the Division of Corporations, Business, and Professional Licensing. Just to keep it brief, this has been a conundrum for the board and the department for the last 2 years, and this would resolve certain issues to make the licensing process more transparent and legally sound. It accomplishes the commercial goals that the sponsor spoke to that are reasonable and appropriate. The only question or concern that we identified, and I apologize for the late notice, is that the department is not granted authority in the new fiscal note or the effective date change to adopt fees. And that would be the only request at this time would be for the department to be added to the board's regulatory ability to adopt regulations prior to the effective date so we can set a fee to cover any costs for the new licenses before they go into effect.
Thank you, Ms. Chambers. Are there questions from committee members?
Thank you.
Brief at ease. We're back on the record. Senator Michiki, the department has raised an issue, so with your support, I would like to work with Department of Law and the department to incorporate into a CS the ability to adopt some fees to cover any costs that they might need to recover, but we'll work that out with you and your team, and we'll bring a CS back on Monday. So it is my intent to move the bill on Monday with the support of the committee. I would like to advise the committee on Monday we will have SB 126, visiting physicians with sports teams, as well as SB 37, pharma, employee drug, distant, and manufacturing. It's all abbreviated for me. So for the public, SB 37 and SB 126. Is there anything else to come before the committee? That we're adjourned.